Our lesson this morning is out of Acts chapter 15, verse 41 to 16, verse 5, Christ's use of Paul to bring great leadership blessing out of great tribulation. The Apostle Paul noted that the cause for effectiveness in spiritual leadership is spiritual suffering, stating the principle that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. A great example of that principle at work is provided for us in the extensive context of Acts chapter 15, verse 41 to 16, verse 5. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and the way you work in our hearts and lives. And it's really comforting to know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he's the one who has determined that he would grow his church and develop it, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so we rely upon our Lord this morning, and we ask that as we function, that we would understand the Word of God, understand how to use it and apply it in accordance with your will, that we might live to the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at the text in depth. We're in Acts chapter 15, verse 41, through chapter 16, verse 5. And he, that would be the Apostle Paul, went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. We know him better as Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And he was well reported of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which are at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Well, in the immediate context, Paul led Timothy to experience circumcision as an adult. Now, this would have been a very painful trial to one's health as an adult, that Timothy might have an effective outreach to unsaved Jewish people. At the city of Lystra, Paul found a disciple named Timotheus. That's what the King James had. If you have a New International Version or an English Standard Version, they actually come right out and say Timothy. Timotheus is what the actual Greek transcription of the name is. But it's Timothy. And we generally call him Timothy. And his mother was a Jewess and his father a Greek. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul talks in 1 Timothy about how the fact that Paul knew that his mother had been a believer, and then even his grandmother Lois had been a believer. So Timothy was actually a third generation believer. Probably his grandmother had come to Christ through an early witness by Christians who were spreading to that area. And she led her daughter to Christ, and then she, in turn, led to her son, which would be Lois's grandson, which would be Timothy, to Christ. So Timothy has a fairly strong background for that era in the church. He would be someone who probably could identify with those of us who have come from Christian homes, or at least come from a home where one of the parents knows Christ as their Savior. Well, Timothy was highly recommended for his walk in his Christian service by believers at both Lystra and Iconium. And Iconium and Lystra are about 20 miles apart. So Paul wanted to take Timothy with him as a co-worker, but there's a problem. Timothy's influence with unsaved Jews would have been seriously hurt because everybody knew that he was uncircumcised. And his having a Jewish mother and a Greek father, though he had not been circumcised, would have been offensive to the Jews. The reason for that, Jews, interestingly, they will look at your heritage based upon your mother, not your father. If your father's a Jew but your mother's a Gentile, they won't treat you as a Jew. But if your mother's a Jew and your father's a Gentile, they'll treat you as a Jew. And the reason is the word people comes from which is the word for mother, people of a mother. So that's how they would identify it. But for Timothy to try and preach the gospel to Jews, when the Jews recognized that he wasn't circumcised because he had a Greek father, they would have just turned a deaf ear to him, because who in the world are you telling us anything about God? Now, there's a bit of a conflict here, because Paul and Barnabas have just come back from Jerusalem. They've just established the fact that you don't need to be circumcised to be saved. So on the surface, this might look like a conflict, but it's really not a conflict. Paul wasn't circumcising or not wanting Timothy to be circumcised to be saved. He wanted him to be circumcised so that the issue of circumcision would be behind him in reference to his reaching Jews. You see, there are some things that we need to do in going the extra mile to remove problems in our culture or in our orientation to unsaved people so that we don't become a turnoff to them. For example, if we're sitting at a table with unsaved people who come from sort of an upper class background, and we're eating with our elbows on the table and we're just shoveling the food in our mouth like this, they're not going to be too disposed to listen to what witness we have because we have very bad manners, right? So if we're going to witness to unsaved people who have been, you know, trained in private schools and so forth, we want to sit back, we want to eat, you know, as we're supposed to. We're supposed to, you know, cut and put the knife down and so forth. You have to be very careful. When I was in the mission field, we had a lady who, she was the daughter of one of the prominent lawyers in Cleveland, and she was the big dorm mother that we had there, and she was forever hammering into us good manners. You're supposed to sit up straight, you know, a fist away from the table. You're supposed to eat your soup by taking your spoon and pushing it in the plate away from you. You tip the plate away from you and so forth, and then come this. She was very great on that. She was huge on Emily Post and all this stuff about manners. Well, she had come from the upper crust in Cleveland, but she didn't want missionary children going home and acting like old hicks. We're supposed to be good witnesses for Christ, so she really drummed it into us. And so Paul had this in mind with Timothy. Timothy's influence with unsaved Jews would have been seriously hurt since everyone knew he was uncircumcised. Accordingly, regardless if Timothy did not need to be circumcised to be saved, a fact that had already been established at the Jerusalem Council, for the sake of love in reaching unsaved Jews by not being an offense, Paul had Timothy circumcised. That's why in verse 3 it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Gentile. Now keep in mind, circumcision for an adult is major surgery in the ancient world because you didn't have antiseptics like we have today. There would have been a real danger of hemorrhaging and so forth. So this was a major situation. I don't believe they used stitches and so forth. So you have to keep in mind, this would have been somewhat of a traumatic situation because of the threat it was to Timothy's welfare. But for the sake of Christ, he went ahead with this somewhat risky operation for him as an adult. Well, then, Paul and his team, including Timothy, were able to edify the churches established on his first missionary journey, delivering the edifying edict of the Jerusalem Council and strengthening the churches. You'll notice that in verse 4 and 5, as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep. And he demonstrates or he describes what these decrees were. The decrees ordained to the apostles and elders which are at Jerusalem. What are those decrees? You go back to Acts chapter 15. That's where they had the decree that you don't have to circumcise Gentiles for them to be saved, but that they abstain from things strangled, from blood, and from things sacrificed to idols. So this is an interesting paradox. You have Timothy along with Paul saying you don't have to be circumcised to be saved, and yet Timothy submitting to circumcision so as it not to create a stumbling block in reaching unsaved Jews for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was suffering on the surface. Now, if you look at this passage in greater depth, there's another level of suffering that is much, much more intense. And that's what we're going to do at this point. In the much broader context, Christ used the extensive sufferings of the Apostle Paul along with those of Timothy for enormous effectiveness in the church down through history. Timothy's home was at Lystra, since it was the town near Iconium where the other believers knew and respected him. Derbe is several hundred miles or 100 miles or so further due east. And Paul was stoned and left for dead on his first missionary journey at Lystra due to opposition to his gospel ministry. If I skip back, for example, just a little bit to Acts chapter 14, I see in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went together, the synagogue of the Jews. He began to preach there. And then I skip down to verse 19. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, coming to Lystra, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, his disciples stood around him, he arose up and came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So the stoning actually happened at Lystra. We know verse 6, for example, they were aware of it. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies around about it. So Paul had been stoned and left for dead at Lystra. This is the town where Timothy came from, Lystra, the place where Paul had been stoned. Now, this is very interesting. The place where Paul probably had been stoned and actually had died, and the Lord allowed him to come back, it was at that very location where one of the great helpers of the Apostle Paul came from. You can see the incredible value of Paul and Timothy sticking to the guns of going back to Lystra. If he had not gone back to Lystra where he had been stoned, he wouldn't have met Timothy. And if he wouldn't have met Timothy, we wouldn't have the epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and possibly Titus. Well, we would have the epistle of Titus, but not 1 and 2 Timothy. I'll tell you what, 1 and 2 Timothy have been a godsend for me in the ministry. Without that, and many pastors down through the centuries would avow to this fact, that if those epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, hadn't been written, we wouldn't really know, in many cases, how to function throughout church history. But that happened because Paul went back to Lystra, he got involved with Timothy, and he later wrote letters to Timothy. It shows the incredible value of sticking at a ministry, even if it's tough, sticking at an assignment for the Lord, even if it's hard. Sometimes the greatest value is in the situations where it's the hardest. See, the devil knows it, and so he wants to try to block. Well, we have to resist the evil one by faith and go against the block that often is put up in our way, in our path. So Timothy's home, that of Lystra, was where Paul had been stoned and left for dead on his first missionary journey due to opposition to his gospel ministry. So, for Paul to be willing to return to the very location of his traumatic event and continue to minister there would have taken much faith in God and resiliency in the face of further possible threats. But doing so led to his meeting and conscripting Timothy to be his helper. Now later, Paul's words to Timothy in his epistle in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, recalled these sufferings at Lystra, sufferings Timothy knew well, and that to encourage Timothy to remain steadfast in his faith, in his ministry, in view of the suffering tribulation that he would experience as a leader. Let me just read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "But you," he's writing to Timothy, "you have fully known my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came on me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra," Timothy's hometown. "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all, including you, Timothy, who will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have become convinced are true, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is literally God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, keruxon ton logon." That's what "preach the word" is. That happens to be on the seal of Dallas Theological Seminary, where I graduated from. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and careful instruction or in doctrine." So, wonderful passage of Scripture that would not have been written if Paul had not gone back to Lystra and conscripted Timothy, and then later was able to write his epistle to Timothy. Indeed, the section of Scripture that I just read, 2 Timothy 3:10-5:8, has often been used not only for Timothy, but for church leaders, actually 4:8, I said 5:8, it should be 4:8, I apologize for that, has been often used not only for Timothy, but for Christian leaders of the universal church down through history. Paul's 2 Timothy 4:2 directive that Timothy preach the word, keruxon ton logon, is the phrase that appears on the seal of the seminary from which I graduated, a seminary that has been a leading institution in conservative Christianity. In fact, it's the largest independent seminary in the world that is also conservative. So the lesson is, in both the lives and ministries of Timothy and the Apostle Paul, the suffering each man faced for the sake of the ministry of Jesus Christ, first in the short term, then in the long term perspectives, has greatly impacted their influence on believers for the Lord. If we face trials for our service for the Lord, be assured that the principle in 2 Timothy 2:12 rings true. Christ will use it to extend our leadership influence for His glory. May we be willing then to suffer hardship in ministry as did Timothy, to keep ourselves useful to God before the weak. And may we stay committed to difficult ministry assignments like Paul was in relation to his incredibly difficult ministry history at Lystra. The Lord applied this in my life in a very dramatic way. Yesterday, we, of course, were at the funeral for Mrs. Jeanette Terwilliger. We know her as Grandma Terwilliger. And, of course, the Roman Catholic priest was there, and he was giving his strange mix of biblical truth with incredible error. And it was, you know, frustrating for a number of the believers that were there. We had a number of people from our church there. And when I got out into the foyer, there were three different Christians that met me there. And then later at the restaurant where we ate later, there were two other Christians. Two of the Christians that I met in the foyer actually thanked me for the ministry, for preaching the truth, for staying with the truth. And that meant a lot. I know it was a very painful experience for them because they'd gone through this, and it was, you know, traumatic not hearing, you know, all of the truth really presented there. But it was an encouragement to me because to hear that from people who attend the church, who are appreciative of the fact that we get the truth, and from my end, knowing as part of the board, knowing some of the price that has been paid over the history because of the truth, it just made it incredibly valuable. And here I come this morning, and I'd forgotten the thrust of the lesson that I was preaching or teaching on this morning. Here we had this particular lesson here on this very issue, and here the Lord had already made the application. I see the value of what He's talking about. It's incredibly valuable to stick to your guns, and even if something is difficult, whether it's a witnessing assignment that we have, whether it's a class that we're teaching, or some other ministry that God has given us, if we hang in there and we stay with it, the Lord will bless. Because often the trouble that we're facing is something that Satan himself is bringing up. And he's trying to trip us up, trying to discourage us, trying to dissuade us from doing that which we need to continue to do. So we need to stay at it and work for him and for the Lord and for the Lord's glory, and God will bless. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you might have. It could be on...